Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs.
Issue 130.
Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Matt Scalisi, editor of FilmNerds.com.
Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
Well, I think it's been a busy summer for all of us. It's been a busy week for me in particular, but I would be remiss if we didn't make time for some Star Trek hype. This week sees the release of Star Trek Beyond, the third movie in the reboot portion of the Star Trek movie franchise, and the first directed by Justin Lin. So this is a film series that, even though not all the films are great, there's always something to enjoy. So I thought it would be fun to get on the phone with you and talk about our ranking of the Star Trek movies as they are right now in anticipation of Star Trek Beyond. Now, it's been a while since I've seen some of these. It's probably the same for you. So just a fair warning to listeners, this is going to be pretty off the cuff, and in the interest of the J.J. Abrams pace and just the way that our days are scheduled, we're going to go pretty fast. Is that cool with you?
It's good with me. I may change these on the fly as I hear myself saying them. It's entirely possible.
Now, is it cool with you if we start at the bottom with our least favorite and go to the top?
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Excellent. Well, I'll go ahead and kick us off then. My number 12, and this is a tough one to pick at times, but I have to go with Star Trek Nemesis because it's, for whatever reason, the Next Generation movies just aren't as good as the original cast movies, in my opinion. And this is an example of that. And it does the weird thing that a lot of people hate Star Trek Into Darkness for, which is trying to make Star Trek into an action movie. But the difference is that J.J. Abrams is a good action director and Stuart Baird isn't really. So Star Trek Nemesis is at the bottom of my list. And I guess I'll go ahead and say that all of these, even if I'm trashing them, there's something to enjoy in every Star Trek movie. So I'll give it that much credit. It's still a Star Trek movie.
I'm probably a bigger Next Generation fan than you are because I grew up with that. That was my first exposure to Star Trek, was watching The Next Generation. And I didn't see anything of the original cast until I started watching those movies on VHS, which came after I had been, really probably after I had already seen Generations. So I'm always going to be probably a little biased towards The Next Generation, but I also have Nemesis as my worst one just because it's primarily because it's incredibly forgettable. And really my bottom three are all, it's been a number of years since I've seen them, but almost nothing sticks in my mind about them except for just sort of vague imagery. And this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, we'll get into, I think, probably some of those other ones here in a second for me too that are very forgettable. One that unfortunately isn't super forgettable for me because it has so many awful moments that it really sticks in my mind is Star Trek V: The Final Frontier. It is the height of goofiness, and it's kind of renowned for, William Shatner saw that Leonard Nimoy got to direct two Star Trek movies, and it seems like he was just like, well, I want to direct one, without really knowing exactly what the implications of that were. So you get a pretty cheap and cheesy movie that recycled a lot of TV sets with a storyline that's actually pretty neat, but doesn't really make enough of it, and it's just kind of a bummer of a movie in terms of production value and staging and things like that. And it's the worst of the original cast movies, in my opinion.
I'm actually going to go with a BS answer here and say that I'm going to make it a tie between 5 and 6. And
no, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And look, maybe I need to give these another shot. I'm sure I do, but I honestly could not tell you what appears in one of those movies and what's in the other one. They are completely made no mark upon my psyche having seen them, multiple times over the years. And they were just the ones that I view them in my mind as they're these sort of weird adventures that have nothing to do with what I think of when I think about Star Trek. They're sort of like, let's take these Star Trek characters and put them in this weird, dark, sort of dystopian feeling world and see what happens then. But that's not why, that has nothing to do with why I like Star Trek and why I think most people like it. Not that there are plenty of adventures that those characters have been put through that get violent and get dark and philosophical. But it's also ultimately a very, starkly optimistic view of the future. And that's kind of what the whole franchise is built upon. And those two movies to me just very much, the only thing I can connect between them and definitely know I feel confident saying about them is they both kind of abandon that part of the franchise in favor of kind of stripping down the franchise to being more about those characters. And I understand maybe, I guess, why you would do that, but I think that's a big part of why those both don't hold fond memories for me.
Fascinating. Well, Undiscovered Country is going to come back up for me later, so I'll touch on that then. But yeah, I definitely agree with you that the Final Frontier just, it doesn't have any of the wonder or fun of that original series, or even, you know, of The Next Generation, which was, I think, had already started when that movie came out. My next one is, speaking of Next Generation, is Generation, which isn't a bad movie, but it makes one tactical error that really gets to me and really hurts the whole movie for me, and I'll go ahead and say spoilers for Star Trek Generations. But in that movie, you've got the return of, or kind of like the, crossing over of Picard with Kirk, and you get the death of Captain Kirk. And he's such an important and kind of great character in TV and movies that he's the kind of character that if you're going to see him die on screen, you kind of want him to have a super dramatic, end that's really, you know, weighty and dramatic and means something. And in this movie, Captain Kirk dies because he falls off a scaffold and a rock falls on him. And it's like, it looks like an episode of a TV show, and it's very lame. It's just kind of, again, it's just kind of a bummer. And it's the doldrums of the Star Trek live action movies when they forget that they're movies, but they also forget that it doesn't have like the story tension or character of a TV show, and it doesn't have the production value of a movie. So it's kind of in this weird gray zone where it's neither of the two, and it's really just kind of disappointing. So it's just a really strange, flimsy movie for me, and that one moment is just kind of crushingly depressing.
I definitely think it's an awkward movie, but there are a lot of things I like about it, and I think probably my opinion of it is colored by the fact that I love the Next Generation characters, and I was really excited to see a movie about them in the theaters. And, you know, I honestly didn't care that much about Kirk the first time I saw it. So that I'm sure colored my opinion of it forever. But I still rewatch it, and there's things in it I like. I think they explore Picard's personal history really well, and I like that about it. They give the Whoopi Goldberg character, who I think her name is it Guinan? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Guinan?
Yeah.
Guinan?
I don't know. I liked what they did with her in that movie a lot. And,
yes,
and
I agree.
She's a really good character that does not really get strong moments outside of this in the movie franchise. And then, you know, I think there are enough, in retrospect, having since kind of delved into the original cast movies, I think they all get some nice moments in this. I never really felt that injustice about how Kirk is dealt with in the end, because I didn't really care at the time quite as much. But yeah, it's an awkward feeling movie. It doesn't really, all come together quite perfectly. I would put my next, though, by the way, just to move up my list, I would say First Contact is the next one for me. I meant Insurrection.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
So, I was like, I bet you Insurrection is his next one, because it's mine.
No, it's
and when you said First Contact, I almost dropped my phone.
No. I like First Contact a lot more than that. Insurrection, it's kind of what we said a little bit about Nemesis. It just feels more like kind of a generic action movie than it does that sort of classic exploration of how the lengths you could take this franchise to. It really kind of just feels like an extended episode and a rather forgettable one of The Next Generation.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's my next one up. I do like it compared to those other Next Generation movies because it feels so much just like a solid Next Generation episode.
It's not strong enough. It wouldn't have even been a two-parter if it had been
right.
part of the show.
That's a fair point. It's a very slight movie, and it starts with Data's floating head. We're walking around, which is just a weird visual. But it's still a fun, light Star Trek adventure. But I have the same problems with it that you do. I think, so you just went and said Insurrection, and I said Insurrection. That was my number nine. So what's your next one? What's your number nine?
So, next for me would be Four, which I still think it's fun, but I don't think it's held up particularly well over the years. I think it's got a really super corny, kind of reminds me of Superman 3 in a way, where it's just like, oh man, like we all really gave a shit about whales back then. That's really cute. Like, it's hard to take it seriously now, but it does have some fun moments in it, at least. But it feels very sitcom-y, the whole idea of, like, let's take these characters and put them in the 80s and, like, what's this boombox here, you know? Like, it's hard to take it as seriously as the other ones, I guess.
I agree. People love this movie, and it's hard to deny the enthusiasm and the fun that it brings, and basically they set out to make, like, a fun, peaceful Star Trek movie after making a few more intense ones. And I admire that a lot, and it's also my number eight, so that's the next one on my list. But yeah, it's so slight and it's so dated, but it's still a lot of fun. And now we're really starting to begin to get into, you know, I can't defend everything about all these movies, but boy, they're a lot of fun, and I can totally see why any of these would be somebody's number one. So if Voyage Home was your nine, it was my eight. What's your number eight?
So my eight would be Generations, and we can go ahead and if I can go ahead and skip ahead to my next one after that, since we discussed that movie, it would be First Contact, which I actually really probably was my first Star Trek experience in a theater where I was like, oh, this is actually a really really good movie. I like this. I was a middle schooler or early high schooler when I saw it, but I really liked it a lot, and I liked the character moments in it, and I kind of liked what they did, you know, when we talked about earlier, taking this franchise to a place where it hadn't really been before. I really liked that exploration of the sort of origins of the Star Trek universe, which we'd never really seen, like how the Earth was before Starfleet and all of that. And, you know, that it was ultimately just like normal people trying to hack stuff together out of spare parts. And I thought that part of it was really cool, on top of the fact that, you know, as a next-gen nerd at the time, seeing the Borg in a movie was a big deal to me because they're the ultimate bad guy if you're a next-generation fan. And I thought they were really well represented in that movie.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to come up later, but it has the stakes are there, you know. I mean, on both fronts, you know, in terms of making sure that the trans warp technology happens in the past, and making sure that the Borg don't assimilate everybody in the present. All the threads on that movie are important, you know, and it's definitely my favorite Next Generation movie, and it, like I said, it'll come up later, but yeah, I agree with you totally. It shows you new stuff about the universe and really really makes you care about what's going on, and it has a lot of really neat character moments, and I think all the stuff with Data and the Borg Queen and Picard, I think all that stuff is really solid character work, too. So that was your seven?
I think so.
Okay. My seven is Search for Spock, which is just a lot of fun. It's kind of a breakneck pace movie. It's got some of the same budget problems that a lot of those middle-numbered movies have, but it's still, I think Christopher Lloyd's Klingon villain is brilliant and a ton of fun to watch. And just in general, it's, like I said, it's just a fun, fast-paced Star Trek adventure movie, and it's a step down for sure from number two, but it's still a satisfying, epilogue to Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, it'll come up later for me, so I'll save it. I'll save my thoughts on it.
Wow, interesting.
So,
okay.
I've got next for me the original Star Wars, the most, or Star Trek, excuse me. Oh man, the nerds all just turned this off. Star Trek, the motion picture, which I like a lot. And we're now like firmly in the territory of movies I like a lot. You know, I think it's kind of odd and wandery, and I think you can tell they really hadn't established like what the tone of the film franchise part of this would be yet. It's got, to me, definitely parts of it feel like it's trying to emulate some 2001 A Space Odyssey type stuff. And so, tonally, it's very, very different from everything that would follow it, I think. But there's definitely a lot of great moments that, having watched the original series, I can imagine, it's so cool to see that kind of back in action and yet have that filmic quality to it that you've never seen before up to that point.
Yeah, it's going to come up again for me. So that was your number six. My number six is Star Trek Into Darkness, which it kind of hurts to have it this low. I know a lot of hardcore Star Trek nerds put this last, dead last, and I don't understand that. Because I can understand why a action movie, Star Trek, doesn't appeal to hardcore Star Trek fans, but I still think that this is a really well-put-together movie, and it still does ask enough moral and, philosophical questions of its characters that I think it counts as Star Trek. It's not like it's, just 100% testosterone adrenaline. But I think, all that aside, I think it's just a really fun, solid movie. It's got, again, some really solid character arcs, and the action scenes are, of course, incredible, and J.J. Abrams just knows how to move a camera, knows how to cut, knows how to just tell a story visually.
Yeah, it's the next one on my list, too, so I enjoyed it. I think it's pretty over the top with the mayhem and violence and stuff, but I think that's just part of the JJ the JJ version of Star Trek. So
yeah.
I enjoy it. I mean, I think it's almost these new Star Trek movies I like a lot. It's hard for me to connect them to the rest of them because there's, first of all, narratively they're not really connected. And I don't care what anybody says about the random alt universe Spock scenes. That's for a different podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically a new interpretation entirely of the franchise, and that's cool. I mean, we do that with lots of properties. But I like it. I think it's obviously an extremely well made movie, and it's bears all the marks of a J.J. Abrams blockbuster. So I like it.
Yeah, so we're in our top five here. My number five is Undiscovered Country, Star Trek VI. And I do think you should probably give it a second look or another look. I'm sure you've seen it a number of times. But it's just I think it's a really nicely put together little mystery movie. It's Nicholas Meyer returning to the franchise. The cast is real old. It's real old in this. But there's almost something that almost plays to the themes of the movie. The movie's about death and how we deal with it. And it's Spock playing Sherlock Holmes, and there's all sorts of cool Sherlock Holmes references and Shakespeare references. And
got Christopher Plummer as a Klingon, and it's got this cool CGI zero gravity blood thing going on at some point.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
It's just a really fun movie, and I don't think it's as dark as you were characterizing it earlier. I think it is character-driven for sure, and it's not about exploring wonder or anything, but it is about exploring, where is this universe going with war and with, diplomacy and all these different things as the Klingon and the Starfleet, truce is negotiated and all these things. I think it's smart enough for Star Trek. It's fun enough for a movie. And like I said, the stakes are all there, and it's nicely put together and directed by Nicholas Meyer. So Undiscovered Country is my number five.
I remember Kim Cattrall as a Vulcan in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She pulled it off.
That's what age I was when I watched that movie last, probably. But I would have taken notice of that.
You're confused, Matt.
So I think the next one on my list is going to be the 09 Abrams Star Trek, which I like a ton. And I definitely enjoyed it. Not to knock Into Darkness, but I enjoyed the first Star Trek movie from Abrams substantially more. I just felt like, especially the way they kind of set up their version of the Kirk character is very different and felt like they were taking us in a very different direction and taking the franchise to a new and fresh place. And I think the movie plays with parts of the franchise that we're all kind of expecting to be there, but it does it in a very clever way. So, I think some of those things probably annoyed some fans. I actually liked it about that. I think if you're going to bother rebooting the franchise, then play with our expectations of it and do something different with it.
Absolutely. So, wait, was that your number four?
Hold on. I think I've only got two left. So that was my number three, I think.
Okay, interesting. I'm two behind.
Unless I missed one, I think I've only got two left.
All right. We've talked about... All right, well, we'll just keep going and we'll pick up the pieces once we get to the end. My number four is one we already talked about, First Contact. And after this point, basically the rest of my list is, these are all awesome movies. And I think that as smart and as, well-crafted as First Contact is, it's also just badass, and it's just awesome, and it's a really good big budget blockbuster movie. And I know that's not what Star Trek was intended as, but I think in these last four movies on my list, they strike the balance between the novelty of the TV premise and what you need to do to make a big screen movie work. First Contact is my number four. I guess I'll just go into my number three.
Yeah,
which is what you just talked about, Star Trek 2009. It's that movie is so much fun. It's infectious. It has the sense of wonder about the future and optimism that I think characterizes Star Trek. It does have a lot of the modern kind of character angst that we've come to expect, but it doesn't take it too far. I do think that Star Trek Into Darkness is a step in a different direction that if every Star Trek movie from now on was going to be in the tone of Into Darkness, I'd be pretty bummed. But it doesn't look like that's the case with the new one. And I just remember the feeling walking out of the theater in 2009 after seeing this and not being a huge Star Trek person before, and then immediately going out and, I mean, really this movie introduced me to the notion, the whole character dynamic between Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and I realized that the whole Kirk and Spock dynamic reminded me an awful lot of another naval adventure dynamic, and that's the one between the characters played by Russell Crowe and Paul Bettany in Master and Commander. That's a movie I'm a huge fan of, and I just kind of like, naval big
see adventure movies, and that's this Star Trek 2009 kind of woke me up to, hey, that's exactly what Star Trek is. And obviously that's been, it's something that is pretty obvious in the other movies. But it's, it, this was kind of like my awakening, and I immediately went and revisited Star Trek movies that I'd seen in the past and watched a lot of the old original series. And I just realized, hey, I'm a Star Trek fan now. Like, this is, I understand that this isn't, I understand that Abrams Star Trek is not pure Star Trek, but it was a really great kind of full-on entry point for me to enjoy the rest of it. And yeah, it's just a blast of a movie.
All right, so I should go ahead and, how about I'll just, we'll reveal our final two at the same time, because there'll be no more suspense after that. So anyway,
just like Star Trek should be.
Sure, I've got two and three in my top two here, but I probably have them in a different
order. Oh, you had a tie. That's why. You had a tie. Never mind. I just
earlier I had a tie. Yes.
Yeah, I just figured out our math thing. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So two and three for me, I definitely could go either way because I love both of those movies. And when I was a kid first watching these, you know, I had this box set of the VHSs that I got all at once. And, you know, I watched the first one and, you know, probably was a little confused by it. And when I saw two and three, I was like, okay, I get this. I'm full on in. I love that whole saga told over two movies. I actually put number three ahead on my list. I would have that as my number one.
Wow.
And it's close, but I think the reason why I feel that way is because I really like the emotional resolution I get in the third movie. You know, despite the fact that there's a lot of dramatic moments in the second one, it really all kind of feels unfinished to me at the end. And especially, you know, again, probably a lot of people that experienced these movies in the theater the first time they saw them, I could totally understand why they would think the second one is superior, because walking out of that theater, it must have been such a, you know, incredible experience to, like, have them drop this huge narrative bomb on you that you didn't see coming, and you have no idea what's coming next. But to me, watching them in close sequence, they kind of feel like two parts of the same story. And I guess for that reason, I like the resolution to it in the third movie better. And I remember also really liking just the kind of side story that was going on about kind of rebirth and the new sort of genesis happening on the planet that they were finding him on. I liked all of that. It was cool to me, and it was kind of a lot more optimistic, certainly. But I think I liked the feeling I had watching the third one more than the second one.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think, you know, you got Kirstie Alley as Vulcan in that one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's interesting that we both have the counterintuitive pick for our top two. My number two is also Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan. My number one is Star Trek: The Motion Picture, and I think that it's similar what you're saying, not in terms of narrative, but just in terms of two sides of a coin. Star Trek II is just a fantastic space adventure. It has everything really that you want from a Star Trek movie, and as you know that killer twist ending or you know whatever final moment that makes it one of those, you know, memorable experiences. However, from a cinematic standpoint, what Robert Wise and Doug Trumbull and Jerry Goldsmith do in Star Trek: The Motion Picture, that movie is just a wonder to me. It's you said it has shades of 2001, and I agree, but it's 2001 combined with Star Trek, and that's a pretty great thing. It's a 50-minute episode of the original series stretched out and stretched over a massive widescreen canvas. I think it has an interesting theme of man's relationship to technology in terms of Kirk's relationship to the Enterprise and Decker's relationship to Ilya, who turns into a robot, the way that Kirk merges with the Enterprise when he becomes its captain is the same way that Decker merges with V'ger at the end. And I think there's a lot of weird, in a way, I don't know, like, it's like the ultimate summing up of Roddenberry, where he, play with these themes of how do we get better and how do we become the ultimate version of humanity. And I think that it's a lot of fun. It has all of the great interplay between Kirk and Spock and McCoy. Has a really, just the whole sequence of everybody getting back together is really fun. And like I said, that Jerry Goldsmith score is just one of the greatest things ever, and the way that it helps tell the story. Because literally they had like 70% of a movie and they were like, well, we need help. And Jerry Goldsmith just like made up sounds and things like that to help tell the story of V'ger and all these different things. And it's clearly not a perfectly conceived movie, and everybody involved with it will admit that. But I think it's a great example of cinema and how you can combine all of these disparate elements and make something that's magical and great and just fun to explore. And it's very fun to explore because every shot lasts 15 minutes, so you can just kind of hang out and look at every shot. There's literally no editing in that movie. And I guess for that weirdness, I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like it, and I think when so many of my experiences here are colored by the age I was when I saw them, and it's just probably hard to shake that impression because this is one of the first things I got really into that my parents, I remember being just like, all right, are you sure you really want to get into this? Because this one's like, this for real has social implications if you get way into this one. Like you can still.
We want cool. Grandkids, Matt.
You can be cool and like Star Wars, but this is like, this, you're going to get looks for this. But yeah, no, I like, I certainly was way into the original cast movies. And then once the Next Generation ones rolled out, it was, at the point where I could go see them in the theater. And, I definitely have enjoyed the Abrams movies, but I can't say that I've had the same feelings about them that I did the original franchises. And honestly, I know this is sort of serving as a bit of a hype podcast, but I have to say, I'm a little, not skeptical, but I probably don't have a ton of anticipation going into Star Trek Beyond, primarily because of my lack of familiarity with Justin Lin. I've only seen one of his movies, and it was Better Luck Tomorrow, which I liked a lot, but I don't really have any sense of what to expect or any reason to be excited about what he's bringing to this. So I guess uncertainty is what I feel about it right now. I would love to be pleasantly surprised. I feel like the advertising hasn't really shown us very much from this movie. It feels very much like a kind of standard action sci-fi movie from the trailers. I assume there will be some intellectual heft there because there always is in a Star Trek movie, but I'm really curious to see what that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you'd asked me, a few days ago, I probably would have agreed with you that I'm kind of mixed on it, but and I'm a Justin Lin fan, but yeah, there have been a few reviews and tweets and things that have come out that have kind of said that it's a return to the optimism and joy of the original series and of Next Generation, and that has gotten me totally hyped because I feel like we kind of need that right now. and all reports are that it is a return to that, and that's exciting for me.
Yeah, well, that's great. I certainly would love to see that be the case, and I don't know if I'm gonna make it opening weekend, but I definitely intend to see it in the theater.
Yeah, I'm planning on being there. My wife is a big Star Trek fan too, so if whoever gets to see it, hopefully we'll get to record a review of it next week and weigh in.
Cool. Well, thanks for ranking these movies with me, Ben.
Absolutely. Thanks for keeping that Abrams pace. That was fun.
Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.